88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. Carla Hayden joins us as well. She's, of course, the director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library here in Baltimore and stops by from time to time to recommend some great reading. So we've got some holiday books on the list. How you doing, Carla?
Fine, and this is a great time of year to get a wonderful book because, you know, the weather's going to change and the first snowflakes are going to come down and you're going to have wonderful books to just curl up with.
Yeah, so we got some curl up
books. This is great.
So you're starting with a few books that are about World War II. The first is a book that won the Man Booker Prize called The Narrow Road to the Deep North. It's a novel by Richard Flanagan.
And it's the life story, really, of a young man who goes into the war, and he's thinking one way. He's a surgeon, and he has all of these wonderful ideas about saving humanity. And then before he goes, he has an affair with his uncle's wife. So that's kind of haunting him, but he sees redemption in going to war. And then he's captured. And he becomes a Japanese prisoner of war and goes to the camp. And, you know, there's a popular movie that's out now that kind of talks about that type of experience. And so this is about his struggle and then getting out and coming back. And he's still concerned about the affair, and he still mm-hmm. has that to deal with and all of the family pressures. And what is it like being a prisoner of war in a very brutal environment? And how do you survive?
Yeah. So that's an interesting.
So that's one, and it's so well written. And in fact, one of the reviewers said that after page 70, be prepared to cancel the rest of your life. There is no stopping till the end. So this is one of those books when you hear the weather forecast and there's going to be a big snowstorm.
This is the one.
Get this book out.
All right.
Get to 70.
And be forewarned. After page 70, you're on your own. Okay, that's The Narrow Road to the Deep North by Richard Flanagan, winner of the Man Booker Prize. And the next one you bought is the one that won the National Book Award. This is by Phil Kay. It's called Redeployment. This is a series of stories about folks in the military in more recent conflicts.
And what's interesting about this book is it reads like nonfiction, but it's fiction. And it's all about what happens when you are on the front lines and you are, for instance, a person who has faith in humanity and God and all of these things, and then you have the brutality of war and the conflicts. And so you had a soldier who had to shoot dogs because the dogs were eating human corpses. And how do you see those types of things, participate that, and then go back to your life in suburbia?
Yeah. And of course, there are, as you say, an awful lot of books. There's first-person accounts of people's experience in Iraq and people's experiences in Afghanistan.
Right.
But this, and this kind of sounds like it would be that, but these are fictional accounts.
They're fictional
but
accounts.
Based on an awful
real
lot of real
experiences. And so you have a chaplain who has this, of course, deep faith, but this understanding of Christianity and how do you provide solace to people who are seeing such atrocities and going through it. So the stories, they're short stories, but they have impact and they stay with you.
All right, Redeployment by Phil Clay, the winner of the National Book Award on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest, Dr. Carla Hayden from the Enoch Pratt Library. We're recommending some books perhaps for holiday giving or for curling up if we get a storm or two. This next one is interesting. This is nonfiction. It's called When Books Went to War, The Stories That Helped Us Win World War II. It's by Molly Guptill Manning. And this is about publishers' efforts to help the war effort in World War II.
And this is where the paperback books that we enjoy today really came into fruition and were used as not only comfort for the troops, but also as a way to combat what was happening in terms of book banning, and over a million books were burned at the time. And people were very outraged, and I have to put in a plug for librarians. They helped lead this at the time to send free books to the troops. And they got 20 million hardcover donations and then many more paperbacks. And the stories that people tell about how The Great Gatsby, for instance, became one of the most popular books, and it elevated Great Gatsby to what we know today. The author of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn talks about how her book was just sitting there and now it's a national icon. And so this story is about how the soldiers related to the books that they were given and what it did for them to be in a foxhole and reading and having these inspirational stories.
Yeah,
to tell.
And the books were actually, many of them were produced specifically to fit in the pockets of the soldiers.
Pocket books.
Yeah, great picture on the cover here of a guy who's in camouflage in a foxhole, and he's reading a book that's teeny, but it's teeny because he's got all his other stuff
pocket
to carry,
books,
and it literally fits in his pockets. This is a fascinating
It's wonderful
subject.
Reading, yeah. And it makes you think. And then there's a list also of all of the books that were available, and the Penguin Publishing Company was really involved in that as well.
Yeah, and of course, how it changed so dramatically the publishing industry, you know, which continues to change to this day.
Right.
So When Books Went to War, the stories that helped us win World War II,
a real
by
fun
Molly Manning.
Book in a different way.
Yeah. Here's another one called Station 11. It's a novel by Emily St. John Mandel. What's this one about?
Oh, it's almost hard to describe. It's about a Hollywood star who has a heart attack on stage during a production of King Lear, and someone in the audience jumps to his aid, and then a child actress is there, and she watches as he performs CPR on the actor, who then dies. But then a flu begins to spread, and hospitals are flooded, and it turns into this futuristic story. 15 years later, the child actress is traveling with the small troop. It's fantasy, it's reality. It is on every best book list for 2014.
Yeah.
And this is one where you just have to start getting your covers and your socks and all of that and get cozied up, because it's going to take you from here to there and all around. And it's just a beautiful story, beautifully written. And if you like fantasy and you like suspense, this is the novel for you.
That's
so it's on every best book list.
It's Station 11. It's a novel by Emily St. John Mandel. This other one is a book I've heard about but don't know much about it. Actually, it's called The Book of Strange New Things. It's by Michael Faber. He wrote a book called Crimson Petal and the White, which got some recognition. But The Book of Strange New Things, what's that about?
And this is another book that is bending different types of genres. It starts with a man of faith, Peter, who's called to the mission of a lifetime. He thinks he's going to be in galaxies far away from his wife. He is overseeing a kind of thing like Interstellar, when you think about that movie. And they're going away. He comes back, and he has letters back to his wife, and things are happening at home. Typhoons, earthquakes are destroying the earth, and her faith begins to falter, and then suddenly they are together again, and you have to really spend some time
with
it.
So you got to stick with this one, yeah.
But the language, again, takes you through it, and you want to find out what's going on, and it is full of strange new things because they're exploring new worlds.
All right, The Book of Strange New Things by Michael Faber. We've got a couple of how-tos here.
And also that Book of Strange New Things is also on every list of the best books for 2014.
For 2014.
Yeah. So you have to do that.
Yeah,
so that's
great.
For the real one. Now, to get really down to earth, though, How to Be a Victorian.
Yes, of all the how-to guides
this
that you could bring, Carla, you're telling us how to be a Victorian, all right? Just, you know, just what we need, period dentistry.
Well, it's good to pair with DVDs of Downton Abbey or a book that was turned into a movie with a gift card to something that is a period movie, because it's really a delightful tour through Victorian life. And it's taking you behind the scenes of what you have, for instance, waking up to a knocker-upper man who goes around and knocks on the window to wake you up, and also how to lace into a corset after calisthenics, and also...
And what guy or gal can't leave the gym without knowing that?
That's and right. Also slipping opium to the little ones. And that was something the Victorians did for what they called, and this is a quote, a evening of love, consideration, control, and pleasure.
There you go.
And so that's Victorians were
Victorian
not that
way
okay
of describing things, an opium
but
den.
But it's really fun. It has all kinds of illustrations, and it's a good book. And speaking of fun,
well, hold on. Let me just tell folks this title, if you're interested: "How to Be a Victorian: A Dawn to Dusk Guide to Victorian Life." It's by Ruth Goodman. Ruth Goodman. You know, the first time I went to London years and years and years ago, I checked into the hotel and the lady behind the counter said, "What time would you like to be knocked up in the morning?"
That's right.
Well, isn't that what a friendly country this is?
That's right. Well, there were people that would actually knock you up, and that's what it was, and that's where it came from.
Now, speaking of knockups here, here's one called The Andy Cohen Diaries, A Deep Look at a Shallow Year. Andy Cohen is a big hit, evidently, on Bravo Network.
Well,
I don't know much about him, I gotta
confess. He's a TV producer. He's the host of a show that captures a lot of gossip and pop culture called Watch What Happens Live. He is just a fun person, and he loves to go out in New York. He loves New York, and he drops names, and he is really the creator of all of the Real Housewives.
Because there's a whole bunch of those. There's like Atlanta and New Jersey.
He controls that. He loves his mom, and she's a part of the show that he has at evening. But he is really just fun. And his role model, though, is Andy Warhol. He actually got to meet him one time. And this is a year in this Andy's life where he takes you through day by day what goes on in his life. It's wonderful. It's funny because when he drops names, he drops some names that you recognize and other ones he makes you guess. It's very irreverent. It's a lot of fun.
And he's evidently a late night icon.
A lot of people
have been thinking about David Letterman, who's just announced that he'll be leaving his show for good on May
20th. And they're thinking of
but here's
Andy
Cohen. Watch What Happens Live. So
right.
Stephen Colbert has got not just Jimmy Fallon to contend with, but he's got Andy Cohen.
And he's also on Morning Joe a lot, too.
Uh-huh.
So
he's
got a serious
side. All right,
side.
So The Andy Cohen Diary, A Deep Look at a Shallow Year. And then you've got a cookbook for us to finish up. This is called Marcus Off Duties, Marcus Off Duty, rather, The Recipes That I Cook at Home by Marcus Samuelson.
And this is the award-winning chef, and he's a New York Times bestselling author as well. He has a wonderful restaurant in New York, in Harlem, called Red Rooster. He
very famous
is
place.
Right. He was born in Ethiopia, raised in Sweden, and trained in European kitchens and France. And this takes you not only through his favorite recipes, blending cultures, but also about his life and how he has traveled and what he brings to thinking about food and making food almost something that brings people together from different cultures and how you mix them. So it's a wonderful gift book. Beautifully illustrated, and some of the things you could actually, if you're not such a great cook, you could actually do.
You could do. So he makes it accessible for folks who aren't like gourmands.
Right. Yeah. Right. And he is really just a wonderful person, and his food is delicious.
Yeah, here's one of a ribeye on the bone
and
black pocket salmon grilled on a plank.
Coconut lime curry chicken, mac cheese and greens, and chocolate pie spice with Indian masala.
My Lord, who could turn that
down? I know.
All right, Marcus Off Duty, The Recipes That I Cook at Home by Marcus Samuelson. Well, Carla Hayden, happy holidays. Thank you. These are great recommendations for gifts and for, a treat for ourselves as well.
Oh, I think so.
Appreciate it. Dr. Carla Hayden is the director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. There's always lots going on there. Right now, for example, in the Central Library, there's an exhibition called Maurice Sendak, the Memorial Exhibition. It's a retrospective of 50 years of the work of Maurice Sendak, along with reactions and responses to that work by 50 different people. So go down and check that out, along with all the other things that they have going on at the Enoch Pratt Library. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Stick around. Lots more going on this morning.